Okay, I have changed the title a little bit. Instead of looking at the organic carbon, I decided to look at the total carbon. Total carbon is the sum of inorganic and organic carbon. We do have lots of inorganic carbon in the subsoil layer in the dry land cropping system. And we started to see some impact of management practices on total carbon. So I have decided that maybe you can look at the total carbon instead of organic carbon that we usually do that. Okay, so the interest, there are lots of interest in using those improved management practices such as the no-till, diversified crop rotation, cover crops, etc., and to increase soil carbon and reduce the greenhouse carbon dioxide concentration. We know the benefits of carbon sequestration on soil health and quality, the crop yields, and also increasing carbon sequestration can help producers to get additional income from carbon credit markets. And in the Northern Great Plains area, we do have lots of decrease in soil carbon storage due to traditional practices, such as conventional till with spring wheat fallow. But it has been decreased by almost 30% to 50% in the last 50 years. And we have little information exists about the information of crop rotation and cultural practices on soil total carbon. So the objective of my our study is to quantify the effect of crop rotation. The crop rotation mainly we use are the stacks and alternate year rotations and continuous monocropping. And then there are two cultural practices, traditional and ecological. And we use that for the amount of how much residue being returned to the soil, how much grain yield, and soil total carbon to a depth of 120 centimeters from 7 years, from 2005 to 2011 in eastern Montana. The second objective is to identify the management practices that would increase carbon storage and crop yields. So the we have the stack rotation. It complete contains maybe 2 4-year rotations. It's a durum canola P. Is the stack rotation is abbreviated as DDCP. Then we have durum flax P. So this rotation contains a non-legume, legume, and oilseed crop. The alternate year rotation is to alternate those crops. So the alternate year rotation are again the 2 4-year rotations, durum canola, durum pea, durum flax, durum pea. So the you notice the difference between stack and alternate rotation is that in the stack rotation, you have got the same crop in stack for 2 years in a row, durum. Then you change the another crops. But if you in your alternate year rotation, you use a different crops in each year. So it's durum canola, durum pea. And then we also have a continuous durum as a reference crops for monocropping. The cultural practices we use are traditional, is a conventional till, recommended seed rate, broadcast nitrogen fertilizer, and reduced stubble height. The ecological or the improved practice, cultural practice, we use a no-till, increased seed rate, banded nitrogen fertilizer, and increased stubble height. So it is a combination of all these practices that would come in this traditional versus ecological practices. We have got the split plot design with the cultural practice as the main plot treatment and the crop rotation as split plot. It was done in Pride, Montana, and the duration is 7 years from 2005 to 2011. And these are the description of the cultural practices that we use for the four crops, durum, pea, canola, and flax. And if you see the cultural practices that we use for durum in the traditional practices is conventional till with seed rate of 90 kilogram per hectare, nitrogen rate 127 kilogram, method of nitrogen fertilizer broadcast, phosphorus, P and K, same, and the stubble height is about 19. Centimeter. If you look at the ecological practice, you see the for durum is no-till, seed rate is higher, you want to make, in order to reduce the weed competition, to reduce the weed, control the weeds. So we need a higher seed rate. Nitrogen rate is the same. Again, we use the Band-Aid. Instead of broadcast fertilizer, we use the Band-Aid fertilizer so that, again, the aim of this cultural practice is to control the weeds by using different practices. And then you use the stubble height, higher stubble height, to catch the snow during the winter. If you make a stubble height higher, you can catch the winter and you can increase your soil water content. And also, increased stubble height reduces the light penetration and also can control the weeds too. So these are different kinds of practices we use for all the different practices. Okay, so there is the results for a biomass yield from 2005 to 2011. And as you can see, this biomass yield are usually higher for this durum crop, durum canola, durum pea, and durum canola pea, mostly in some of the years. It's actually varied by year. It depends on the rainfall amount, but if you look at the mean of the across the 7 years, mean annualized, you see those variation clearly. The DCDP and DDCP usually have a higher biomass yield return, crop residue return to the soil. This is the difference among the two cultural practices. You see, the ecological practices tend to have a higher biomass yield in some years, 2007 and 2011. The grain yield is again tend to be higher with ecological compared with the traditional practice in 2010 and 2011. So the result is that the ecological practices, we spray the herbicides, pre-plant herbicides, plant late, late planting, and that controls the herbicides, and as a result, because of the effective weed control, we usually seek a good amount of biomass and crop residue return. In terms of grain yield return among the crop rotation, you see the three crops, continuous monocropping, DCDP and DDCP, has again higher grain yield. But the lowest one, the DDFV, durum flax pea, has the lowest amount of annualized grain yield. The soil depth, you see this bulk density and the soil carbon, total carbon concentration across the depth. Bulk density tend to be increased with the depth, as you see over here. But if you look at the, there are no difference among the management practices for the bulk density. And the total carbon concentration, again, across the treatments, this tends to be increased. Look, if you look at this, the total carbon is increased and start to decline, then again start to increase. This increase at the subsurface layer is mainly due to inorganic carbon. We have lots of inorganic. After you go below 20 centimeter depth, the soil inorganic carbon start to incline. So when you take the total carbon, it increases with the depth. The reason for this inorganic carbon is when you apply long-term application of nitrogen fertilizers, some of the inorganic carbon being solubilized with soil acidification from ammonia-based nitrogen fertilizers, and they move from surface to subsurface soil and start to accumulate on the subsurface layer. And some of the inorganic carbon also comes up during the dry season, the upward capillary movement of groundwater. And also the parent materials itself has a high amount of calcite and dolomite too. As regards to the total carbon concentration, you see those among the crop rotation system. Only in at surface depth, you see that at 20 to 50 centimeter, we see an increase with CD. And at 50 to 80 centimeters, we have a total carbon increase again with DFDP, area. So it's actually varied by depth, total carbon. Or you see the, again, there are, something is happening with this inorganic carbon. And both organic and inorganic carbons is affected by the crop rotation system. In case of ecological practices, we have got also a similar kind of trend, with especially at the 20 to 50 centimeter depth layer, we see a higher amount of carbon with DCDP. So it is significant only at certain depth among the crop rotation. When you look at the changes in soil total carbon by year, all carbon concentrations are declining. From 2005 to 2011. That's because I think we don't produce enough biomass. We do have rains, is about total annual rainfall is about 350 millimeter per year. We are not producing enough biomass to compensate for the carbon loss. So as a result, we are seeing carbon loss in at all depth. But the highest amount rate is on the surface layer, but it will decline as you go down to the subsoil layer. But if you see these regression equations, they are significant for a depth up to 20 centimeter layer. 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20 centimeter. If you go below 20 centimeter depth, they are not significant. Although there is a loss in total carbon, they are not significant. So most of the carbon loss occurs at the surface soil layer. If you look at the total carbon content when expressed at the megagram of carbon per hectare, this system over here, DDFV, has the lowest amount of carbon. That's because the amount of biomass residue returned to the soil is less in this kind of rotation. DDFV. The flax doesn't produce much residue. Has the highest, lowest amount of residue in there. That's why we are seeing this total carbon. So the conclusion is that the alternate year crop rotation were effective in maintaining dry land, soil total carbon levels, and analyzed grain yields, similar to those in continuous cereal monocropping. Stack rotation, especially DDFV, reduced STC concentration as well as grain yield compared with the alternate year rotation and monocropping. Cultural practices, interactions with crop rotation on STC concentration and crop yield, but had minimum effect on soil profile STC content. Soil total content at 0 to 20 cm declined from 2005 to 2011, regardless of the treatment. So my final conclusion is that the alternate year rotation can sustain soil carbon storage and crop yields compared with continuous monocropping. As a result, alternate year crop rotation may be used to reduce atmospheric carbon pollution, enhance soil health and quality, and reduce farm input and claim carbon credit in dryland cropping system. This paper has been accessed in the Agronomy Journal, so if there is more information, it is coming pretty soon. And I will acknowledge my technicians and co-workers that helped to for soil sampling and analysis and plant samples. Thank you very much.